Welcome to Everybody Wants Something, a Degrassi podcast where two black millennials recap every episode of Degrassi from junior high to next class. Because why not? I'm your host, Sanique.
And I'm your other host, Lauren. Let's jump in.
We're back.
We're back. Wow. It feels like it's been so long since we recorded last.
Right? But it hasn't.
Last week was so long,
actually, though. Yeah, I feel like this past week went by very slowly. I'm recording on Memorial Day.
Oh, yeah. I forgot Monday was the holiday.
I figured. But yeah. It's fine because I don't have anything to do today. That's except for, exciting. I have one engagement for later, but not for right now.
That's delightful. Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm just a hot commodity. My family was like, oh, are you free to like do like our family Zoom chat on Monday? And I was like, I'm recording a podcast. And I was like, wait, why are they like all free on Monday? And then I remembered it was Memorial Day. It's like, right, that's why everyone's free.
You're like, did you guys all lose your jobs? Like, what happened? Is that what you're calling to tell me? Oh my God.
What's going on?
Did we lose the house?
Oh, also, I'm just going to go into my life update. My parents moved out of their house, like my childhood home.
Oh my God. Did I do that?
No. I mean,
did I make that happen just by saying that?
I mean, in your world, yes. But in my world, it's been happening for a long time.
Girl, not like in your world. Like, oh, wow. Excuse me. Oh my God. Really?
Yeah.
Did they downsize?
Yeah.
You know. The kids are gone.
Yeah, so they've been thinking about it for a while. And when I knew when I left when I left home this past time to come back to China, I knew that was probably wasn't going to be like that. When I left the house, that was probably gonna be the last time I was going to be leaving. But it was very weird. Like last time I talked to them, they're like, "Yeah, we're going to be out by Thursday," and I was like, "What? What? Sorry, huh?" Yeah, so they moved out last week.
How do you feel?
I mean, I feel fine. I think it's, I was talking to my brother about it, and both my brother and I have been like we both went away to college. Like we both like lived kind of at home for like periods of time, but not like permanently. Mm-hmm. So I think we both lived away from home for a long time now, but I think it's weird in the sense that like when I go back home to like visit, like they're not going to be at the house. I think that's going to be very weird. I think going home is not like, I literally don't like have like, I mean, I could stay at my parents' house, but like, I don't like have my room to like go like restart my life in, you know?
Yeah.
So,
wow.
But yeah, like it's like, I think, was it, how old am I? Look at my watch, like 28 years old. I'm like, oh, I guess I like really need to like get my shit together now. Like my childhood bedroom is gone.
Couch surf. Yeah.
Yeah. My parents, this shows you like how, cause like in my family, I'm the one that like lives abroad. I like, in my mind, I like have like a stable life here, but like no one, I'm the only one that knows my life here. Like everyone else doesn't like see it day to day. So they're just like, oh, like right. Lauren's like gallivanting in China, like, you know, whatever. I guess. So my parents were like, they moved it. Do you know where Leisure World is?
Oh my God. Yes, I do.
Yes. But they don't live in the retirement section, but it's like a massive community. And so they have like condos as well that are just like as like in the kind of community as well. So they live there now, or they're getting ready to move there. But they're like, oh yeah, like, you know, like you're welcome to come visit and stay. But like they kind of have strict rules about like long-term like residence. And I was like, I mean, oh, yeah, I wasn't planning on moving back in with them, but I think that was kind of like, they were like, yeah, so like, you know, like it's a 3-bedroom, like there's plenty of space for you and Chris to come visit, but like, you know, I was like, thanks for your vote of confidence that I'm
don't
like,
overstay
doing
your
well.
Welcome, please. Thank you.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, last time I was literally stuck in the country because of visa shit. So, and then a pandemic.
You're like, last time I had the choice, I would have gone back. Like,
exactly. Yeah.
So, like the date of my plane ticket, I would have gone back.
Exactly. Exactly. So that was, yeah, that's like very weird.
Yeah, I'm sure that is. Wow.
Yeah. So it's very, very weird. Very weird times. But I mean, like they moved down the street. They don't move. They didn't move that far away.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
so
I'm happy for them. I'm happy. Wow. It's like a big, man, so many, I'm going to miss the house. I haven't been to your house in like ages, but just like, I remember being there a lot. But I'm like, whoa, like, oh, okay. Like some other family's going to be living in the house.
I know. Aww. It's actually like very cute. What was it? Wow. They're like a black family that there is very weird. Like I was kind of getting like, not emotional, but I was just like feeling like sentimental. My family was telling me about like the family that's moving in. And I was like, so what schools are they going to? Like, no, like they're like, I would say like 40s. They have like two girls and I forget where the parents are from, but they're like, they moved to the States and they like work and like, and their daughters are just like young black queens, just like thriving and doing well in school. And I was just like getting super sentimental about people I literally have never met. Possibly we'll meet if I like come and knock on the door, but you know, it was very weird.
I understand that. I think the places that we call home, it's interesting because people move so much. It's weird thinking about like how many like milestones and stuff have happened for different people in the place that we live. It's kind of, it is kind of weird to think like, oh, someone else is just living there in my room or in my home and probably experiencing the same things I experienced.
I know. Like, so weird. but Sanique, how are you doing?
I am doing very well. Big announcement. I now have a full-time job. I start tomorrow.
Bitch. Yes. This is first I'm hearing about it. Tell me about it. Tell us about it.
Yeah. I was like, I'll save it. I wanted like for drama. I wanted an actual reaction. So I was like, I'll wait to tell her on the pod.
I almost did a spit take.
You're welcome, listener. No, it's fine. yeah, it's one of the places I was doing like freelance contract work is bringing me on full-time.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah.
For like copywriting,
some social media stuff. I'm wearing kind of wearing multiple hats.
Awesome.
But yeah.
Congratulations, girl.
Thank you.
Sisters.
Yeah, it feels good.
Doing it for ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have been on this journey. If you're someone who's been listening to the podcast for at least a year or more, you've heard me lament about not having a job. But now I do. So,
I know.
Yay. I'm excited. I'm excited to have, like, income again and to not be, like, scrounging and scrimping and saving. It's like, oh, I can, like, spend money now. Like, not frivolously, but it's good to know, like, oh, it will be replenished in my bank account. Like, the money's coming in consistently. So it's like, oh, it's fine. I could... I'll have the extra guac, please.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead. Oh, I know it's like extra. Like, put it on.
Yeah. And, you know, double up. I would like extra meat as well. Just like, go ahead.
Yeah. Like, whatever. See what happens.
Just like adding all the a la carte extras, being like,
I know. I'm also envisioning this is Chipotle and my burrito bowl is so full. It's like spilling. I'm like, oh my God, this is too much food.
God bless Chipotle, like, sir, what do you, at Subway, they're called sandwich artists. What do you call, I guess, burrito connoisseurs, burrito. Maybe? Burrito.
Burrito aficionados.
Yeah. The amount of times when they're just like, all right, so this fool's about to, like, not even burrito bowl, but, like, a burrito, and then they see how much they're getting, like, halfway down the line, they're like, this bitch... We're going to have to double up on tortillas today. Like, they really thought.
There's no way this thing is closing.
Because, you know, it's the same person that's like, actually, can I have some more, can I have a little bit more meat? Can I have a little bit more meat? Oh, a little bit more of that. A little bit more of that. And it's like, we have a system down, ma'am. You know? Actually, I kind of miss Chipotle a little bit.
It's the business.
I know.
Speaking of business, though, do we have any business from
oh my gosh
our listeners?
So speaking of when I was stuck outside of China, beginning of COVID, so like when I first came back in February 2020, and I remember we were podcasting, and I was talking about, someone had sent us a message or commented on one of our posts about how they were listening back to an old episode and hearing me talk about COVID in China, like, and I remember in the episode I was like, yeah, like, I'm self-quarantining in my house, like, I'm kind of staying away from my parents. And it was like, I know it kind of seems over the top, but like, I don't want to be the one that everyone points their fingers at. So this bitch came back from China and didn't do shit.
This bitch came from China.
So
fucking COVID.
Yeah.
Took out the state of Maryland. Thank you.
Yeah.
Cause you know you're black woman, they gonna put your name all over
Hell
these
yeah.
like Lauren Hamilton.
At this address.
This black bitch.
Yeah. So it was just funny because I was just like, yeah, I was right. And no one I knew fucking got COVID. Never got COVID myself. So
I think that was, yeah, I think you did it. I think you saved lives.
I mean, I do what I can.
Thank you for your service.
You're welcome. Okay. So we got a message. Ooh, this was in May. Sorry, Nicole. I did not respond on time. Oh, no. It is still May. So, okay. Mm-hmm. But still. It was like a week late. But Nicole Pietti. That's probably wrong. Nicole. She sent us a message. You can cut that out.
I'm going to cut out her. You saying her last name.
Yes, please do. But Nicole sent us a message, and I'll read the message and I'll tell you what she sent us. She says, okay. Hi, Lauren and Sneak. First of all, love the pod, and I'm so excited for more of the next gen episodes. I just wanted to send along this video that came up on my YouTube recommendations. It's V-long, but really well made and fascinating. Thought you'd be interested. So, I'll give you the name for it, listener and Sneak, if you guys are curious about searching this video. I watched it, forewarning, it's about 50 minutes long, but it is...
Oh, I love long form YouTube videos.
Yeah. If you love a long form podcast, you'd love this long form YouTube channel or YouTube video. But it's a YouTube video called I Look Back at Degrassi Junior High, a Fake Retrospective. I only got about 8 minutes in, but it is very well done and kind of like well researched. Those kind of like, I don't even know what you call it, like investigative, like report, not reporting, but just like storytelling kind of like,
here's it's like a video essay, right?
Yeah. But yeah, so it's like kind of like an editing together of clips and photos and, you know, very well done. And edited, and let me give credit to the person who made the video. It's a look back at Degrassi Junior High, a fake retrospective by Kat with a K. And they do like quite a lot of essay type videos, a lot about Neopets, which really took me back. I forgot about Neopets. But yeah, it's a very well done video. And came out like maybe 2 weeks ago, so it's actually very recent as well. But yeah, very interesting if you guys are interested from her perspective. Kat, if you're a listener, I don't know, maybe we can connect and we could have a fun little discussion about Degrassi. Her take on things is very interesting and I like it.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. I would love to check it out. I will be sure to hop. I love watching like those video essays about TV and movies. So I'm going to watch that. So thank you so much, Nicole, for shouting that out.
Yes.
Are you ready to jump into this this podcast? We're already doing it. Into the episodes.
Wait, we're recording?
Are you going to put this on the internet? We'll be back after a quick break. We watched episode 11, Friday night, air date January 27th, 2002. Sean asks Emma out on a date, but the night turns into one disaster after another. Meanwhile, when Jimmy and Spinner are given attention by a stressed Miss Kwan, they vow revenge by pulling pranks on her. The pranks are fun at first, but quickly turn cruel when Spinner decides to egg Miss Kwan's car.
That's when it turned cruel. Episode. Was the egging?
I thought it was cruel just at the egging. I think that the other stuff was kind of funny. No?
No. As a teacher that has to deal with asshole students like Spinner, I fucking despise these kids.
Okay, I love that. This is, love it. You have a different perspective. I was like, oh, it's just kind of funny, but like, I guess, yeah, she's trying to do her job. They are being obnoxious.
Yeah.
So the episode starts off with Manny showing off her new nail polish to Emma. When Sean comes through, and Manny very dutifully and quickly excuses herself.
Oh, yeah.
I gotta go. I gotta talk to Liberty. She leaves. And first, they're just kind of having, like, chat about math until he's like, hey, like, you know, it's Friday. And she's like, yeah. And he's like, you know, you have plans? And she's like, no. He's like, you want to hang out? And she's like, yeah. And then he leaves. And the way Manny came back so fast, she was like, what happened? Like, she's like, where did you go? We were just off out of frame. Like, where did you go, Manny?
Yeah.
You said you were going to talk to Liberty. You just stood a few feet away and then jump back in.
Yeah. She's like, you know, when you like walking down the hall and you're like pretending to, you don't want to make eye contact with someone, so you're pretending to like read a poster or like very like interested in something on the wall. That was Manny trying to pretend she wasn't listening to the conversation between Emma and Sean.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, she's a good friend.
Yes.
So the girls are talking about the date. Toby is being awkward. But now they're unsure if the date is a date or just a hang. And I'm like, ladies, it's a date. Like, he's a boy. Amelia said, like, he's a boy. He said, hang out. Like, it's a date, you know.
Yeah.
No one actually says, hey, will you go on a date with me? It's usually like, hey, you want to, like, hang out or
yeah, but I guess
later.
I guess for me, if it was, like, I was more kind of under the – like, at that age, being like, oh, if they say, let's go out this Friday, then it's a date. But if it's let's hang out, that could be up for interpretation.
Really?
I don't know. It's like when you have people, it's like oh, like, we hooked up. And it's like, what base are we at? Like, are we...
like, yeah. But that also, hooking up, I feel like, changes based off of age. Like,
yeah.
When you're a teenager, hookup can mean anything, but as an adult, you're like, you hooked. First off, you said, if you're still saying we hooked up as an adult, it's like, just say you fucked. Like, we know. You ain't. None of us is like, oh, did you give him an over pants handy? It's like, girl, you're 28. you threw that ass back. Like, we know. Like, it's okay. You don't have to mince words with us. We're all adults here. This podcast is not for children. Okay.
Get the kids out of here.
We're talking about children's content, but we're just like, it's not for you though. It's for the oldies. Miss Kwan is handing out permission slips to this. They're going to Strathmore to see a play, and someone's making some kind of like annoying clicking noise, and she's like, she's not having it. And we find out that it's Spinner, who is not so subtly listening to music behind his binder with like his headphones on. And I'm like, bro.
Yeah.
Thank God for AirPods these days. I'm sure these kids are all just like fucking listening to music constantly.
Yep. They are.
They are. can't confirm.
Yes, they are. And it's like, it's this classic student that, like, again, as this, when you're a classmate of the student, it makes the class fun, but like, as a teacher, they're the worst, where it's like, you know, you can't listen to music in class. Like, I don't know what universe you think you're living in. Like, you know, you're breaking a rule. And so, but then they're also the type of student that like gets like super like up in arms, we're like, hey, I was just listening to music. Like, I wasn't bothering anybody. It's like, sir, like, let's, you're up here. We need to take it down to a two and, stop embarrassing yourself. Like, come on.
So, unpopular opinion. I actually think that kids should be able to listen to music in class in certain circumstances. Obviously not when you're lecturing or – but I think when it's like quiet reading time or you're doing independent work, I think it's like – because some people work well with that. Like I work well with like – I don't like working in silence.
Yes.
I wish that we were allowed to like listen to like – just like, you know, as long as it's not annoying anyone and I'm still doing my work, I think it should be allowed.
I agree.
But under very specific conditions.
I am not disagreeing with that. But again –
okay.
This type of student is the type of student that's like case in point. I had a student that was watching like a soccer game on their phone.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no, baby.
And then when I caught them, because like, listen, you can't play the ultimate player. Like I know all the tricks. Like I was that student. You can't play me. Like I, like I want.
Do you,
you
know
to try.
Who I am, kids? Like, have you not heard of me over here in Beijing?
The O fucking G. Okay, so like, I know all the fucking tricks. I would gladly love to be tricked. I want you to try and trick me, but you can't trick the trickster. Okay, like, and yeah, it's like that thing of like you're not like. Again, because there's the students that are fine in class and aren't trying to break any rules. The type of students that are like, you know, I need to listen to music, like, because I know, like, when watching like docu series shows now of like kids in school, you'll see some of them like having music playing, but they're still paying attention because it's just like it's a kind of new style of education where it's like, well, instead of, you know, strict rules, you can't do this, you can't do that. Kids are used to having having multiple different stimuli at one time. And as long as you have kind of like ground rules kind of set of like, if I ask you a question, you're going to respond. Like
the irony of it too is I think people assume because kids are so stimulated, like, oh, they can't pay attention. I would argue that I wouldn't be surprised if today kids actually are way better at paying attention because they are used to so many things that they can. Like, yeah. I don't know because – I mean, I am not, like, a child psychologist, so correct me. But I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of them might be able to pay attention to situations because they're so accustomed to, like, doing multiple things at once, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's very much, especially like kind of like catering to different learning styles and different like learning abilities of like, you know, kids that can't just sit still in a classroom and like and focus, like they need, they could still like be active in class and things, they just need to be standing up or like, you know, pacing back and forth in class. That is a normal thing. But Mr. Spinner over here, sir, no, because again, he has his fucking, this is not AirPod era, this is fucking those janky ass CD player headphones.
It's a Walkman. And he's like tapping his desk. He calls it Discman, but yeah.
Exactly. Like he's that kid that's like, I'm acting out and I want to get noticed for acting out and then make a kind of scene of getting in trouble about it and then act like I didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. Which are the worst kids to have to deal with in class time.
Oh, I'm fucking sure. I don't know how you don't, like, I don't know, destroy their lives.
Oh,
she gives him detention because of this. And she says, Gavin, keep wasting my time and I'll keep wasting yours. And I'm like, that's a great teacher line. If I was a teacher, I would say that. I feel like teachers have, like, catchphrases, you know? Like, teachers are, like, action movie stars from the 80s. What's your catchphrase? What's your thing at school? Do you have a thing you say to the kids that are like,
"The struggle
is if you want to play games, I'll play with your with your grades." I don't know.
The struggle is dealing with these students in an ESL setting is that a lot of the times the kids that are acting like out like this are also the kids that have the worst English level, so they don't want to feel stupid, so they'll act out in class instead of looking like they don't know what's going on. So trying to discipline them can be very hard. And then the worst is what happens is my catchphrase is like, do you need to go see your teacher? Like they all have like a head teacher of each class, which is like the disciplinary and like the one that talks to their parents, call their parents, everything. And so that's my kind of catchphrase. And so they know that and they'll shake their head like no, and then they'll kind of like sit quietly. The worst is when I will try to, like, there's different kind of in classroom discipline I can do. A lot of times, like, you have to stand up in the back of the class. They can't sit down. They have to go sit in the hall or something. But the worst is when they'll pull a spinner and they're like, ah, they'll like say in Chinese, like, well, ting badong, I don't understand the teacher, even though they'll like play dumb as if they don't understand what I'm saying. And then the other kids in class will translate it for them. And they're like, the teacher wants you to go stay in the back of the class. And then the kid's like, what? Huh? I don't this is God bless China for this shit. Like, they will self-police to the cows come home, and it's the fucking best.
Like, the other kids will do it?
Yeah, they're like, the teacher said get to the back of the class! And then, they're all, like, pipe in, and then if the student's getting really bad. I mean,
honestly, if you consider, like, the government and how, like, that stuff is set up, it really does make, like, a classroom of snitches.
Oh, I love it. I fucking love it. And then the best is when the student like really is misbehaving, and then one of the students will say to me in English, they're like, teacher, they call me teacher. Oh, they'll call either teacher or teacher Lauren. They're like, I think I need to go get the teacher. It's time. and then the thing is though, the problem student so knows funny. Like when it's gotten to that level, they're like, fuck, I let it go too far.
Your friends have turned on you.
Yeah,
they're like, we will turn you in. Like, we can't. You're creating a toxic learning environment for all of us, and we're done. Yeah. We're all done here.
Exactly, because that's the thing. My class, like, my job as the foreign teacher is to be the fun teacher. So my classes are like relaxed and like a fun time. But like, we're not gonna be like, we're not doing crazy shit. Like you gotta still like behave. We're gonna have a fun class, but like, if you can't be civilized in. Like, and respectful, then we're not gonna have a fun class. So the rest of the kids are like, listen, you're ruining it for all of us. Get out of here.
I mean, yeah, though. We've all been there. It's like when you're in the cafeteria and we're all trying to go to recess and someone keeps talking. It's like, you need to shut – we're all like, shut the fuck up, kid. Like, I'm trying to go outside and play some Foursquare, okay? So you need to be quiet so I can get my Foursquare in, because when I don't get my Foursquare in, my day is ruined, okay? You don't want to see me when I haven't had my square. Okay. Yeah,
it's the best when I, like, because if I'm, like, if they're getting out hand, I'll, like, sit there and I'll just stand there at the front of the classic teacher, stand there at the front of the class and, like, okay, I'm gonna stand here and be quiet until we're all quiet. But I don't say that. I just stand there and look at them, and then I'll stare them down for the problem students. And then they'll all get quiet, and then one of the smart asses will be, like, mutter something under their breath. And then the other students will be like, Bishwolama, which means like, be quiet. Yell at each other, and the kid's like, whoa, I was just saying. But again, all this stuff is happening in Chinese. I'm just interpreting it by body language, and it's so entertaining.
That's so entertaining. Oh man, I need to come see you. If I ever came to see you, would I be able to like sit in on a class? Or is probably that like not a no-no?
No, I would find it like, oh, she's like,
teacher. Teacher, why?
Oh, no. I would find out a way to get you like at the school I'm working at next year. I'd be able to do it.
Yeah, tell them I'm somebody. Like, tell them I do something. I think we'll think about it, and then I'll go. Come on, we'll finesse them. I want to sit in the class and watch these kids be bad and encourage them. Like, yeah.
But the thing is, the first time that you're in the class, they'll be fine. They'll be really nice and like perfect. And then like two classes in, then they'll start fucking up.
I wish I could speak Chinese. I would be like, don't listen to her. Like, I've seen her. She, this girl's thrown up in front of her parents because she drank too much Fireball. Don't listen to her. Is that who you want to be? Don't listen to her. Listen to me. Listen to me. I'm teacher now.
I'm the captain now.
I'm a captain. I would totally take over your class. Yeah. But Maddie and Emma are in gym. And Sean is being weird. Like, she's like, so about tonight? And he gives her like Ariana Grande, and he like walks away.
So Ariana Grande.
He's like, yeah. She's like, what the fuck? So they're playing dodgeball, of course, because I guess they still played that in Canada. We stopped playing dodgeball, like, by the time we're like first grade, they stopped doing that. Yeah, they're like, this is abusive. You know, PC culture, you know? And they're playing dodgeball, and Emma's like fucking Sean shit up. And he's like, ooh. He's like, no. So Jimmy and Ashley are like in the hallway, and they are doing a lot. They're like full on. I feel bad for Terry. Like, Terry's just standing there. They're just like, oh, he's like, oh, my Juliet or whatever bullshit. And he's just like, they're like full on tonguing in the in the hallway.
You know, fucking Terry was like, two fucking days ago, y'all were like, Ashley was about to like slap the shit out of you because you were annoying. You were annoying her so much. And now that she feels like, what is it? Pity towards you.
Feels bad for you.
She's like, let me be here for you.
She's like, bam, bam. So they're just like making out and stuff in the hall. So Quan sees them and she's like, okay, cut it out. Like, code of conduct. You're doing too much. But then she does this thing. I'm like, okay, Quan, you doing too much now, girl. All you got to do is like, hey, you know, leave room for Jesus and then go. She like walks away a little bit. She turns around. She's like, no, I'm going to get these little fuckers. She's like, you two may think you're adorable, but that doesn't mean that everyone else does. I was like, shit.
Listen.
Like, way to fight. Like, okay, you're the adult here, Ms. Quan. Like, these are kids. Like, you don't got to do all that.
But this tracks because this fucking tracks because Ms. Quan was also the fucking bitch that was like, oh, Romeo and Juliet, let's get Paige in here and fucking Ashley will be the mate, the nurse, and let's stir the pot. Like, Ms. Quan is that bitch. Like,
that's true. She don't give a fuck. She's like a producer on a Bravo show. She's like, I gotta mix this up. Like, this is too boring. We need some drama.
Oh my gosh. Also, Did I ever tell you one of my good friends here in China used to be a producer for Bravo?
I think you mentioned that.
Yeah.
So I think I freaked out and was like, man. You know, my old boss's sister used to cast for reality TV shows. Bitch. Oh. And like, I used to work at like a humanitarian nonprofit, and I really wanted to tell my boss, like, honestly, she's saving the world more than you are. I hate to break it to you. I don't care how much money you've raised for people in need.
You're not her.
You're not her. You'll never be her. You know, the last year during a pandemic, we needed that more than anything. Mm-hmm. So you sit and think about that, ma'am, before you think you're better than your sis. Because she's like, oh, like she, you know, she's like, she steals these horrible people. And I'm like, yeah, it makes her like, she's stronger than the Marines. Like, yeah, what do you mean? Like, she's a hero.
Memorial Day. We need
Memorial Day. I think
we need another
Memorial
Day.
Memorial Day, Veterans Day.
We need a producer's day.
Yeah, for reality TV producers, I think we need to like really honor them and like what they've done for this country, because it's been like, God, I don't even want to get started. I'm gonna start crying.
I know.
Yeah, but Jimmy complains about complains to Spinner about Ms. Quan. Spinner's like, we need revenge, but Jimmy's like, I don't know about that. I don't think it's a good idea.
Spinner's like that guy that he's like, we need to make something happen. It's like, oh, okay, so we're at that level now. Okay, like, wasn't that
Jimmy's
serious?
Like, I'm not that angry yet. Like, I don't think we don't need to break her ankles. Like, I'm not there yet. But Spinner's like, you'll get there. Just wait.
Yeah, Jimmy's just, oh, what's her name? Tanya Harding, and then fucking Spinner's, like, her ex-husband and, like,
oh, cousin. Jeff Galooly.
Yeah, they're like, all right, you want to take her out? Okay, we'll take her out. Let's go.
Do you want to win gold or not? Because she's standing in your way.
And Jimmy's like, listen, I wasn't here. I didn't hear this conversation, but, like, he was fully there, you know?
Yeah. What even happened? I think Nancy Kerrigan at the end of the day still only got like silver. So it was kind of like, the ending wasn't even that satisfying, because it's like she didn't even like win. But she won enough to be America's sweetheart. So Emma is still complaining to Manny about Sean, and Paige, of course, emerges, I think, from the bathroom. She comes out, you hear a flush, and she like walks out.
Huh? Hun? What'd you say, hun?
She's like, hun. She's like, you look like you need my help, hun. And okay, so no one asks for Paige's help.
No.
I really feel like Paige is trying really tries her best to solidify herself as, like, I am, like, the head bitch who, like, now I'm going to bully you, but I'm also going to offer you some help because, like, I know boys. Because, like, they were not thinking about asking Paige anything, but she, like, decides, like, oh, yes, you need me. And it's like, I don't think they do. But she does confirm to them that it's a date, which is helpful.
Yeah, she's like, let me explain. Listen, she's dealt with the middle school boys of Degrassi, and Jimmy's already taken. So that means mm-hmm. that leaves Spinner and the rest of the extras in the show. And she's like, I know how to speak dummy, okay? I've had to deal with Spinner. I know all the lingo.
She does. She does, because, like, she's like, yeah, that's, like, that's guy speak for date, okay? And Emma's like, even, like, yeah. I'm sorry, yeah. And he's like, yeah, absolutely. That's their favorite.
So, oh, my God. Very godmother greatest, Paige.
Yeah, she's great. I would love to have Paige, a Paige in my corner, that's for sure. Or, oh, I think on my own Paige, actually. Yeah,
yeah,
I am. The grade eights are left alone in Quan's room because she's had a meeting with Radich. And Spinner gets up in the front of the class, starts to imitate her. And Jimmy kind of jumps in on the bit. And she comes in and she's like, imitates them. And she's like, oh, yeah, the intercom works both ways. But I was like, so how'd you hear them? Because it seems like right after they finished their bit, you appeared. So it's like,
yeah.
How close is the office? Did you sprint? Like, I feel like she sprinted over. She's like all sweaty. She's just like, I have to get in there. I have to get him. But she's like, yeah, Jimmy, detention. So now Jimmy's like, fuck. Emma messages Sean during media immersion. And it was a big misunderstanding, but the date is still on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, they're kind of like classic, like, oh, girls are from Venus, boys are from Mars. How will we ever understand each other? Huh? Like, it's like, oh my God. Here we go with this plot line.
I mean, literally, that's every rom-com. It's like, we're just too different. I'm like, we're speaking two different languages. You have to, like, one, you know, to have, like, those, like, the cut, jump back and forth the shots of, like, the guys are talking about this. Actually, I was just watching the Little Rascals movie. The other day, so I had a really bad cramps, and I was like, I just need something sweet. So I put on the Little Rascals, and I was like, this is so nice. And that scene where, like, the boys are like, girls are like this, and the girls are like, boys are like this. Yes. And I'm like, oh man, this is so good. so good. And the Olsen twins make a cameo, and I'm just like, yeah. my girls, where weren't they in the 90s?
Okay, they were everywhere.
They were fucking everywhere. I loved it. So in detention, Jimmy and Spinner are, like, talking, but Quan is like, shut up. I have a night course. 3 hours. In this room, specifically. This will be important to you to know. I'll tell you all the details of my plans for later.
Yeah.
And Spinner is like, my boy, it's time for revenge. And Jimmy's like, he's like, yeah.
Bet.
You got to fuck this woman's life. Sean shows up at Emma's in a turtleneck.
We are in full, I mean, these early seasons of Degrassi were just like turtleneck central. Everyone's wearing a fucking turtleneck. And like
a chunky big, one at that.
The chunky turtlenecks. Yes. That like, I mean, I had several chunky turtlenecks.
Oh yeah. They I had like, one with glitter. So woven into the fabric.
Oh yes. Those are so popular. But it's so weird because it's like, it's one of those, like, styles that, like, mostly adults wear that, like, all of a sudden, like, children were wearing that was made us all look very mature for some reason. For no reason at all.
You're right. Yeah, because it was, like, a beige turtleneck at that. Like, a really beige turtleneck with his, like, little jean jacket. That's, like, that's date Sean. He's like, this is, you know.
Yeah. I mean, he looked like he was, it was, like, the end. You know what he looked like? He went on What Not to Wear, and it was like the final looks.
Yo, they love to put a bitch in a turtleneck on that show. A man, especially.
Layered with a jean jacket on top. Like, when they're like, you know, and then you know, it's like daytime casual, and then, you know, throw on a blazer for night. And it's like, oh my God, they fucking love some layers.
I have Discovery Plus and they have all of What Not to Wear, and I think I'm gonna have to watch that after this. Like old timey old What Not to Wear with Stacey and Clinton. I think they have a falling out though.
I like to think that they're just like they're like in the Hamptons, like they like have that like that frenemy relationship that like but they stick together forever.
I hope. Yeah. I'd be too sad if I don't want to live in a world where Stacey and Clinton are like they hate each other, because they were like my every. I used to watch that show and be like, man, I can't wait to grow gray hair in the front. I was like, that's gonna be so hot. Like I'm gonna have like one like streak of gray hair.
Yeah.
And I was like 10. And that was like my aspiration.
I know. Part of me kind of still wants that. I'll make that
happen. I do too. My gray hairs are like kind of growing in one spot right now. So maybe.
Okay, Stacey.
Who knows? Right. We'll see. We'll have to wait a few years and see what that looks like. Yeah, so he shows up at Emma's and Spike is telling Emma all about her awkward first date. And I was like, you mean when you got pregnant?
Yeah, well, how many Lucy's? Days was that before you got impregnated?
Yeah, she's like, oh my God, my date was so embarrassing. I'm like, yeah, and then you literally got knocked up at night. Yeah. So was it that bad of a date? I don't know. You got some.
I know. When this scene was happening, I was like, wait, is she talking about the time she got pregnant? And then when, you know, Sean comes in and, like, she's like, hold on. And she's going to get something. I was like, is she about to go get condoms? Like, is this it? Like...
Well, Spike is a cool mom, so she probably would. But she doesn't. She comes back with a Polaroid camera. She takes a picture of them.
So fucking bad.
You know what I want to do for the wedding?
What?
I want to have, like, Polaroid cameras, like, all over the room. And people can take pics and leave. But, like, you can't take them. They're for me.
Right.
Is that rude? To be like, okay, I know Polaroid cameras are, like, fun. Either that or I want to put, like, disposable cameras and then, like, people take pictures and then I'll get them developed and then get, like, double the copies. So then there's some that people might want. I can, like, as a their thank you note, it's like, here, here's this picture of you having fun at my wedding. You're welcome.
I would probably say thank you. Disposable more so because as someone that has bought that Polaroid camera film, that stuff is expensive. And you only get, like, 8 in a pack.
You're right.
And you know people are going to be stealing that shit.
That's true. Oh, yeah. Fuck that. Disposable cameras. I'm a fucking pat down my guests before they leave. Like, if I find a Polaroid picture in anything, strip search. I don't care. I don't care, great aunt, so-and-so, strip search. I need to see if you don't have a fucking Polaroid picture. Exactly. If you do, I'm going to fucking fine you.
Uh-huh. Bridezilla that shit.
It's like, no, I wouldn't do that. I'd be too drunk. Okay, so it looks like they didn't have a plan, though. Like, they leave for the date, and it's like, oh, we're just going to, like, kind of go with the flow. And Emma keeps talking, and she's like, oh, my God, verbal diarrhea. And a bird shits on her fucking shoulder.
Listen, the bad luck that Emma had, oh, my God. I think I would have just, like... Being as awkward as Emma already is, and then how awkward she is in this date, I think I would have just, like, given up on, like...
Same. School. I would have canceled the date.
I would have canceled the date. Like,
it's not meant to be.
No. Definitely not.
I'm a very strong believer in, like, listening to what the universe is telling you.
Right.
Like, one day, when I was in college, I was on my way to class, and it was raining. Like, it was, like, actually, no, it was, like, sleet or something, like a icy mix. I'm walking to class, and I kid you not, I had only taken a few steps off of my doorstep. I fell down, and I was, like, you know what? I'm going back inside. I'm not it's going God. To class today. Like, it's God telling me I'm not going to make it. I will die today. So I went inside, and I watched The Office for the rest of the day and didn't go to class.
Sometimes I just miss that. I miss that college life where you're, like, I'm not feeling it today. You don't have to, like, call in or anything. You just, like, just don't show up.
Yeah, and it was, like, a big lecture, too. It wasn't even, like a class where I have to, like, I'd be email and be like, I'm sorry, prof, I can't make it. I don't know where that accent came from. And also prof. But, like, it was one situation where I was like, oh, no one will miss me. Mm-hmm. And I just went back to class. They probably would, though, because I was, like, the one black girl in the class, so they probably noticed I wasn't there.
Like, anyway. The diversity is gone now.
Diversity has depleted. We're missing the black.
the promotional like pamphlet photographer that day like leaves like, oh dang it, she's not here. Come back another day.
Yeah. I have to come back another day. She must have. I'm sure there was a good reason. She must have fallen down on her way out on her way to class. So, he was right. Jimmy and Spinner are sneaking to the school after hours, and Quan is teaching an English class for adult learners, both like newly arrived, like immigrants mm-hmm. who are learning English. And the guys turn on the intercom, and Spinner starts chewing gum into the mic because they're taking. I remember watching this the first time when I was younger and not understanding what she meant when she was like, "You will write the test." You will be rewriting that. She's conjugating, but I guess because she said writing a test, and I forgot, I didn't know that Canadians say that. Like, I have to write the exam, or like sit for an exam versus like taking a test. I was like, what the fuck is she talking? I thought she literally meant like, are they making tests? Like, what? What are they doing? Like, I thought they were writing the exam. I think they don't speak English. I don't understand how they could. It seems like you're setting them up for failure. But she's like doing a conjugation thing. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
But they're chewing gum, but no one in the class is chewing gum. And she's like, something's happening. Because Quan is like a bloodhound. She's like, something's awry. At the food court, Sean and Emma sit down to eat before their movie. They start talking about vegetarianism. He's traumatized by cows getting fucking yeeted by humans. And Emma's grossed out by that. She gets some ketchup on his chin, and he's like, oh, you got a little glob on your chin, which honestly is better than getting something stuck in your teeth. When someone tells me, like, I think it's important to tell people when they have something in their teeth, but when it happens, like, I want to end my life.
Oh, for me, that's not...
That's not embarrassing?
That's not too... No, not really. No. I'm trying to think of other things that would be more embarrassing. I can't think of anything off the top of it, but that's never really been something super embarrassing. I would say if I don't know, something else. But yeah, stuck in my teeth, not so much.
Wow. I think you're just like more emotionally mature than I am, because I need to be perfect at all times. So if someone's like, you have something stuck in your teeth, which is not a sign of imperfection. Also, perfection is like not a real thing. Right. I'm like, oh my God. What else is wrong with me?
They're pointing out this, but what about everything else?
Yeah, they're like using your teeth, and I'm like, okay, I'll just like pull them all out. Like, yeah, I don't deserve teeth. New ones.
It's okay.
I guess I don't need teeth. I'm gonna get veneers. Like, so, a guy shows up at Quan's house with a pizza delivery man. I don't know why I said a guy. He's literally a pizza man. Just some man shows up with pizza and wings, and he's like, yeah, it'll be $52. There's all these wings and shit. And Ms. Kwan's like, I'm not paying for this. I didn't order this. Rakesh gets up, and he's like, I got money. I'm hungry. They start paying the man. The people start paying him. And when I tell you that scene where Rakesh starts to conjugate about eating those wings.
Yeah.
That actually was a good line. That was a funny line.
Yes, very good. I love it.
Yeah, and also, like, I'm proud of Rakesh. Like, his conjugation is really on point. I know. Conjugating English is not easy because it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make no damn sense.
It doesn't make any fucking sense. So I understand. Like, I'm happy to see that he's...
Yeah, I miss teaching adults like that. Because I was working in back home that year. I was stuck when I was working in Virginia. I worked at a school that taught classes like that. And I'm like, oh... I miss the adults that like were like interested and grateful and not asshole little students that.
I mean, probably paying their own money, so they're like, "Oh, I'm taking this seriously. Like, this is my hard earned cash." All right.
I taught like Saturday classes of like, just like it was like just like the most genuine people. Like it was the one day off they had a week. Like, most of them were like custodial workers and. Like building service people, and they like had their one day off on Saturdays, and they would come in at like 8 a.m. and be there almost all day. And I'm like, oh my God, I love
that's dedication.
You. I know,
that's exactly why they were good students, because they're like literally using their one day off to like enrich themselves, which these fucking kids don't care about that.
But like, I get it. I was that kid too.
Yeah, you don't have personally. Yeah. I mean, your kids don't like school. It's normal. So They're on their way to the movie, Sean and Emma, when she realizes she doesn't have her wallet. So Sean starts to dig into the trash like a gentleman, but a mall cop shows up and he's like, you need to do this someplace else. And I was like, oh boy. Spinner and Jimmy are now egging Miss Kwan's car. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah. That's where the line for me. I feel like the pizza and wing stuff is annoying, but it's like kind of funny. And she didn't have to pay for it. The people ate the food. If anything, they gave him a snack break. And I think that's great. But yeah, then like they start egging her car and it's like, whoa. And this is exactly why I could never be a teacher, because I could not handle kids like actively trying to ruin my life.
No.
And then not being able to like fucking beat the shit out of them.
Exactly. Like not be able to retaliate. And then like them getting the excuse. So it's like, well, they're kids. They just don't, like, their brains aren't fully formed. Like, you have to be the fully bigger
form,
person.
You know what's fully formed? My fist.
My fist, okay? In your fucking face.
your fucking mouth, kid.
God, yeah. Yeah, I never got, like, because I also didn't know anyone that, like, egged or, like, TP'd people's houses. But I remember even, it's like the idea of, like, people that, like, prank. Like, people that prank, like, I don't get it. Like, I don't.
Me neither. I'm not a prankster.
No, because it's like, what? Like, you don't have to deal with the after. Like, obviously, a prank among friends, like, when I think of, like, I don't know, just, like, bullshit, like, Jersey Shore type things. But, like, this kind of prank, it's like, people have to clean it up. Or, like, this is gonna affect their life type shit. It's like, why are you doing this? So, yeah, the egging was definitely a big line that they crossed, for sure.
Absolutely, it was a huge line. Speaking of Jersey Shore, we didn't mention we were on Justine's podcast. If you guys haven't listened to it, check out Did I Make That Up with Justine Elizabeth. We were on the episode from like last week, so check it out. We're talking about Jersey Shore,
kissing cousins.
Yes, we talk about Jersey Shore, so check it out. Hi, Justine. I know you're listening. Hello. That was creepy. Sorry, Justine. Okay. So yeah, they egg the car and stuff, and she comes out, and she, like, just breaks down in tears, and I'm just like, baby girl. I just wanted to go, like, babe.
I know.
I cup her beautiful face in my hand, like, come on. Okay.
I know.
I call my girlfriend Miss Kwan. I call her Kwan. I don't know her first name. I call her
Kwan.
Kwan, babe. Please don't do this. Don't cry. These fucking that's why I couldn't be a teacher, because I know these kids would probably get to me one day and they would make me cry in front of everyone, and then I have to quit and I have to move states.
I would have to start a new life, and I don't want to go through all that.
New identity, new name. I have to, like, new year, new look, new fucking identity, and go someplace else. Because I cried in front of teenagers, which is, like, the worst thing you can do.
Talk about social suicide. That is social suicide.
Yeah, you cannot let teenagers cry, especially as an adult. As another teen, maybe it's bad, but they'll forget it. But if you're an adult and you cry, like, I mean, I've been in my share of classrooms where kids were so bad that, like,
oh my God, yeah,
the teacher was near tears. And I'm just like, shit, girl. And I remember sitting in class and being like, girl, don't cry. Don't do it. Don't cry, girl. They're going to get you. Don't do it.
Like, there's always, like,
tears fall.
I just remember, like, I feel like on the internet, there's, like, the generalized Florida man. And then I feel like when it comes to high school classes, there's, like, the hot Cheetos girl. The hot Cheetos girl is terrifying. She will read you for filth, and you will not come out alive.
No.
She will make you cry.
Yeah, and she has to be careful because she's funny as fuck. But if you're laughing too loud, she might look at you and turn her wrath. I'm like, what are you laughing at? I'm like, no, nothing.
Like, terrifying.
I was coughing. I'm sick.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but Sean is digging through all this trash when Emma realizes. Excuse me. Oh, hot Cheetos girl. She heard me talk about her. Emma realizes that her wallet was in her bag. And she makes that dumb face like, I'm going to cry. But she's not really. She's like, her mouth just like kind of moves around and she runs away.
If I was Emma and this was – and I and we have already had the amount of embarrassment I've had on this date, I would have just pretended that I lost my wallet forever and then just never tell him. I would not.
Yeah, tell him I wouldn't have revealed it. Or I would have like slunk over to a corner and like dropped it there and be like, oh, I found it. Like, I would fully commit. Don't admit that you fucked up.
Yeah. And you just destroyed this man's turtleneck outfit by going through the trash. You fucking destroyed his like camel, like nude, chunky turtleneck. Get the fuck out of here.
You know,
here,
Sean Adam. Doesn't have a lot of money, so that was like his one. That was his nice outfit.
Yeah.
So like now he has to burn it, and then he just has to wear dirty dungarees all the time.
Emma, you're the fucking worst, man.
Fucking worst. I mean,
just in the specific wallet moment, I'm like, fuck you, Emma, man. Come on, give some dignity.
But it looks like it's next Monday, and Emma is showing the gang her photos from her date and telling them how shitty it was. But Toby gives her sound advice, and he's like, Sean's not going to, like, dump you because of this. Like, you're fine. Which I'm like,
I know.
Good for – every once in a while, Toby can be very, like, mature and just is like, come on, girl, relax.
But I think Toby's saying that because he's like, well, if Sean – I think Toby realizes that Sean likes Emma the way that Toby likes Emma or, like, loves her.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's like –
oh, yeah. So he's speaking for himself. He's like, I wouldn't let this ruin us.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like
– I mean, Sean wouldn't.
Yeah. It's like very much that, like, kind of like, oh, I'm the friend zone best friend that, like the ducky – pretty in pink moment, you know, mm-hmm. where it's like, well, he's gonna treat you right, so, you know, that's the way I would want it. It's like, okay,
yeah. So, but Emma, Sean comes in and Emma apologizes for being so, like, because I mean she was a spaz pretty much the entire date, yeah. And everything that happened was like because shit happened to Emma. But he's like, he's cool with it. He asked for one of the photos. And she's like, oh, we still in there. Ah.
Yeah.
We stole this game, bitch. I'm about to come at it.
Bitter I'm still on Jimmy. The track to get my first kiss, my first boyfriend, yeah. First everything with this man. Yeah, look at me. It's gonna look
like, oh, I'm about to get finger banged by Christmas. Can't wait.
Get ready.
Spinner and Jimmy tell the class about what they did, which I'm like, a good way to make sure you get in trouble. Like, okay, like you guys are like those two girls that killed their mom and then went to school and told everybody about it, and someone told the police.
Every dumb criminal ever, where it's like, just so you know, when you hear these things that happen, it was us. Give us bragging rights. It's like, what the fuck?
Right.
Sir?
It's like, I have to take credit for this. But the girls are not impressed. They're like, yeah, you know, you guys sound like assholes. This is not something to be excited yeah. about. Just then, Radich comes in. He's subbing for Quan, who will not be coming back for the rest of the term. The trip is canceled, and she's not coming back because her son has been very, very sick, and she's just been very stressed out. And clearly, Friday night kind of was a tipping point. I'm just like, I can't do this, you know.
Yeah.
I'm at my wit's end. And the boys are very sad because they realize, wow, we did that.
Yeah, it's like that, like, I feel like this happened. This has probably happened to everyone at some point where it's like you, like, something goes too far.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize later it's like, oh, like, someone's really going through something. Or, like, you know, like, either a joke went too far or something went too far. And you're like, oh, fuck, I'm terrible. And then it's like kind of like that learning moment that happens in your teen years. And then you then make a decision to become a good person from that point. Or you turn into like the like eternal bro, like that like just continues being that way forever. And it's like, I don't get it. What's this PC culture? Like, why is everyone so sensitive? I didn't mean it that way. Why does everything have to be about race? Like, they're that person.
It's like, bro, you're just a sociopath. You have no ability to exactly. empathize with people. That's literally all this says. But the episode ends with the boys being sad. Shall we do our song choices?
Yes. All right, you're up first.
I'm just like really excited to give mine on.
I know you hyped up your song choices and I'm excited.
Okay. So Emma the entire episode is just like out of control. She's like She's overthinking things. She's throwing balls at boys. She's losing wallets that were not lost. She's getting shat on. She's just a mess, okay? All because she's into this guy. Mm-hmm. And her friends are telling her, like, something's coming over you. But, like, I think I know what it is. I think I'm in love with you, Jessica Simpson. God.
So many times I'm like, I'm looking at all the songs that exist. There's no other ones. And then you pick one. I'm like, how did I forget about that one?
Yeah, I love that song. Very famously sampled. John Mellencamp's Jack and Diane.
Oh, love
Midwestern
it.
Hero. That guy. Midwestern. What's your song? He is. The people in the Midwest really love John. They love John Mellencamp in the Midwest.
Sucking on chili dog outside the taste of
sucking on chili dogs. What does that mean? I you never sucked on a chili dog. You don't want to suck a dick, dude.
Like, again, the amount of times, I mean, I will randomly say that just, like, in my day. I'm like, suck it on chili dog. So
it's a wild lyric.
It is. And he's like, you know, the world can take it. We're in a tough spot. People, Desert Storm is hitting us hard. We could take it. Was that during Desert Storm? I don't know.
I don't think so. I think it was the 80s.
So first Bush.
Like this. Probably. I don't know. Yeah. So what's your song?
So for me, I was also kind of along the same lines with like Emma mm-hmm. and like her just being in that like very giddy, happy-go-lucky type, like, young love type thing, and like thinking about your future of like what's to come of this, like this is your first date and like this is like the beginning of your love story type thing. So I chose Someone to Call My Lover by Janet Jackson. Very much. I feel like it's like, I mean, this album that Janet Jackson had out in 2001 is one of my favorites of all time.
I think it's probably like, I think one of her best, if not like her best.
So good. It's so good.
Yeah. And it's that All For You album, right?
Yep, girl. Yep. She's just like laying in the like all white bed, like naked underneath sheets. And I'm like, Janet, you better serve it. You better give it all. It's all for you, Janet.
Album before the Nipplegate thing happened, right? I know. Right?
Exactly. I know.
Yeah. Because then Demita Joe comes out, and I think that one wasn't as successful because of all the drama. Damn it!
I know.
Fuck Justin Timberlake.
I know. It's truly, like, crazy to think about, what could have been. Like, because that was, like, 2001. Like, we're talking about, like, pre-resurgence of, like, R&B in the mid-2000s that was, like...
Mm-hmm.
And Janet Jackson was fucking, like... blacklisted from it, basically.
Yeah,
but we're gonna honor her in our playlist, and
absolutely
I'm sure that this will not be the first song from the album that one of us chooses.
That album is definitely gonna come back, because that album is so good. Okay, I'm gonna have to listen to that album mm-hmm. today, actually. Thank you. I have so many things to do today. Thanks. So do you want to do the next episode?
Let's get into it.
Quick reminder that you can find our song choices on Spotify and Apple Music. Links in the description. Let us know what you think about the playlist. Let us know if you have any songs you'd like to see on the playlist based off of the episodes we've done. So next is episode 12, Wannabe, and synopsis. Air date February 3rd, 2002. Synopsis. Paige starts a spirit squad at school. Manny, who desperately wants to join, starts to hang out with the It crowd and begins to question her friendship with an unsupportive Emma. Meanwhile, Spinner, Liberty, JT, and Toby team up to win a contest.
Wow. I mean, talk about, like, sassy, confident, outspoken Manny has entered the group chat.
Has entered the fucking chat. I'm so happy because it was like, it was so cool to see, just knowing what I know Manny becomes. It's like, this is the beginning. Like, mm-hmm. she's starting to Which I think Manny is one of the most interesting characters on the show because she does start off still like kind of mousy, like little sidekick. And you see her just like really assert herself like to Emma and to Paige and to like everybody. I'm like, oh, love this.
Yeah.
Love to see a brown girl winning.
Love to see it.
So the episode starts off with Liberty, who is interviewing Paige and Hazel and some guy named Oscar.
Who's like, again, we popped up and I was like, again, I was watching, it was on my phone playing, like, kind of, I was doing dishes, and so I wasn't directly looking at it. And I was like, who was that? Like, I had to squint and look, I was like,
yeah, oh, man. he's someone who I think shows up a lot in the background. He does have a name, but like we don't know anything about him. He's like really tall. I thought he was like a fucking like student teacher. I was like, who the fuck is this man? Like, what?
Yeah, and I think I'm like wondering because it's like supposed to be assumed like these are people for this spirit squad. So I'm like, was he supposed to be like the kind of like gay like third person in this triangle with Hazel, then like eventually gets replaced by Marco? Like
I was confused by it. I mean it's a major stereotype that if you're a cheerleader, a male cheerleader, you're gay, but exactly. Like, let's be honest, usually, at least my experience, usually male cheerleaders, most all the male cheerleaders I've ever known were gay men. But I know you'd be straight too. I mean, George Bush was a cheerleader. He was in college.
I mean, I have my theories.
I don't think George Bush is gay. I think he's annoyingly straight, actually. Like, he's so straight, it disgusts me. It's like, okay, like, way to make that your personality. One of the questions Liberty asked, so this is going to be, no, this is going to be the theme. She's like, what would you say to students who find it sexist? And they actually give pretty good arguments. It's like, it's a sport. It's actually like an intense sport. Like all these things that I'm like, people think cheerleading is sexist. Also at this time, I think people's attitude about cheerleading was changing because this is after Bring It On came out. And it's like, cheerleading is a hard sport. It's not just girls in, you know, skirts. It's like, oh, these are athletes, you know, respect them.
Wow, that's so true.
I looked it up because Bring It On came out in 2001, so it just came out when this was on.
And I feel like the idea of like kind of like the sports of cheerleading, I think it always existed, but it hadn't been super mainstream for people that weren't involved.
So no, like, it hadn't been. Bring It
On really.
Bring It On is like really like is actually. Credited for a lot of like changing our cultural perception of cheerleaders. Before that, every depiction of cheerleaders were like, oh, just like the ditzy popular girls, or like, you know, rah rah rah. And this is the first time we saw like on screen cheerleaders being like, no, they're serious athletes. Like, they're not protected under Title IX. That's a whole discussion, because which is why so many injuries happen. There's the regulations are wild because high school cheerleading is like truly dangerous. But like, they're actual athletes and they take it seriously, and they're not just like some girls just shaking some pom-poms, you know? But even if they were, that's fine too. If you like that, do it. So Manny comes over.
Gabrielle Union. Iconic.
God. God, I was looking for that movie lately on streaming sites. There's no free versions. And I'm like, oh, I really want to watch. I love that movie so much. It's so good. And also ahead of its time, with the conversation about cultural appropriation, like racism and class, like it actually was really like fucking progressive for 2001.
I know.
It's wild. That'd be so fucking good. I can't wait to have like, I don't know, like a daughter or a son and like show them like, okay, so we're going to watch Bring It On because it's that bitch. Okay. It's a good movie. Yes,
exactly.
Now working your backhand spring, you're going to make the squad. So...
If you don't make Matt this year, you're fucking done. Just come be like a full on cheer mom.
Yeah. I will. I'm gonna be all kinds of moms. Like, I'm just gonna destroy my children's lives. Manny comes over and she's like, I want to try out. And they're like, okay, let's see what you can do. They're in the hallway, mind you. So she does this. I love this episode because the background actors who are just saying shit are so funny to me. Actually, one of my favorite things to do when I watch TV and movies is like just look at the background people, because they're always like There's so much going on with extras that I'm like, I need to, we have to pay attention. But she does like a weak ass cartwheel, just two. And people were like, whoa, wow, check that out. Oh my God, she's amazing.
Listen, I don't know what the gymnastics market is like in Canada, that they were like, damn, look at her. Like, y'all, I guess y'all didn't grow up with fucking Dominique Dawes and her whatever several other.
Because no, y'all were gonna have Simone Biles. They have nothing. Because no. Yeah, I mean, have you ever seen the Canadian women's gymnastics team medal? Exactly.
There's like individuals, like they're pretty competitive, but
yeah, but do they?
No.
Do you see them on the podium? Okay, then that's why. So listen, this is why
they invest a lot into their Winter Olympics. You know, they've got a.
They
lot
do.
Of
they're
those.
Great at that. They're great at that. They're like, we can't be spending our time doing cartwheels because we're like skiing and lugeing. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, everyone's like, whoa, wow. And also, there's, like, this discount, like, Oh Mickey music playing in the back. Like, a little clap, 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 clap. And yeah. She, like, does her little cartwheel. Paige is on the morning announcements, and she's promoting the Spirit Squad. And, of course, here comes Emma. She's, like, cheerleading? Seriously? Like, okay, sexist. And she's like, Emma says, oh, cheerleading is so over. And I remind us that Bring It On was a huge hit and came out like the summer before. And I'm like, Emma, what are you talking about? Cheerleading is really hot right now.
You know, Emma does not pay attention to fucking pop culture. She's always like watching those boring ass, like not even nature documentaries. Like
nature
like,
documentaries.
But like the ones that are even done by like PBS and like BBC, just like the like. Random ass ones that like you can get in the bargain bin.
Oh yeah, they're really like fucked up ones of watching like animals get slaughtered to make you vegetarian. Yeah. Like Emma knows who Mama Onu is, but she doesn't know that cheerleading is like really popular right now. Like, do you know who Kirsten Dunst is, bitch? I bet you don't.
No, definitely.
Have a seat.
Not.
So I have no respect for people who like don't know pop culture like at all. Cause like so. You're invested in all of this other random shit, but not in, like, what's happening in your culture right now. That's not important to you? Okay. We have a problem. I don't want to talk to you anymore.
The conversation I had with somebody the other day about, like, what was we talking about? They didn't know what the term catfish meant. And I was like...
And they were American?
Yeah. And they were, like, okay. Maybe 1 or 2 years older than me. And I was like... How do you get to exist in this world? Like, I don't get it.
You know they're getting catfished all day because they don't even know.
I know. Also, there's also a coworker of mine. I don't really talk to him, but, like, we had this conversation. We were at some event we had to both be at, and I was watching videos on my phone during break. And he's like, oh, what are you watching? And I was like, oh, I'm watching MTV The Challenge. And he's like, what's that? And I was like, oh, it's, like, a bunch of people from Real World and stuff. And he's like, what? I was like, MTV, The Real World. He's like, oh, I don't watch TV. I
was like, then why are you talking to me? Then why the fuck are you talking to me right now?
I was just like, I'm trying to dumb down this explanation so much. And also,
how do you
like,
know what the real world is? Also American?
Also American, also like 20, like my age, like our age. And I was like,
okay,
I
how
don't
do you not know.
Know
what the real world, like the most like iconic reality TV show to ever exist? What?
You don't even know, you don't even know the reference of like me saying that. And I'm like, good. Needless to say, he's fucking weird.
I can get you not knowing The Challenge because, like, if you haven't stayed up to date with I only know about The Challenge is because I've just heard people talk. I've never seen it before. But, like, you don't know what The Real World is? Next thing he's going to be like, what's MTV? And then you're going to have to, like, jump off a cliff because that's just sad. Yeah, okay. I used to work with a guy who was like that, and he was very, like, he prided himself. He also was only, like, 2 years older than me, but acted like I was, like, he thought I was in Gen Z. And I was like, I'm literally your age, like. Yeah. What about me screams Gen Z? But he was like very, I think I've talked about him before, but he was like very like into like classical music, and like, which is fine. But he made it his whole personality to the point where he was not open to any like current pop culture. And I'm like, once again, you understand that, like, there's nothing wrong with, like, loving high art, I guess. I mean, that's subjective. Like, who decides what high art is and what is art? That's a whole other conversation. But it's, like, it disturbs me when people are not aware of, like, what's happening currently. I think, honestly, like, it's easy to kind of dismiss pop culture as being frivolous, but it's a really good indicator of what's happening in the culture, and that influences politics, influences a lot of things. Like, I don't know, if one thing Trump presidency should have taught us is, like, the importance of pop culture, because that is literally the example of pop culture melding with politics and actually having worldwide, like, consequences. Not just some bullshit Twitter. Oh, it's not just bullshit. Like, it actually has real world consequences. So when someone is like, oh, I don't know the real world, like, I guess I'm too busy reading Sartre, I'm like, okay, but Sartre is not influencing your life as much as, like,
Thank you.
Right now, because it actually is.
Yeah.
But okay.
Also, surprise, surprise, this man had no social, he was not picking up on any social cues of, like, he's a person, like, can't, like, let silence be silence. Like, he has to, like, he, like, anytime, like, he, like, again, he came into the classroom I was in, so he was invading my space and wouldn't leave, like, and then, like, was constantly being, like, making noise, like, and, like, tapping his fingers on the desk, like, having to, like, fill the empty, like, silence. And I'm like, sir, if I had to guess, he was possibly homeschooled. Or he probably went to the university I went to. Like, I feel like I know some people like that.
He needs to go watch TV and, like, really, you know, open your mind, sir. So Emma's like, cheerleading. And it's how we know Emma's not aware of pop culture either, because she's like, what, like, you want to wear a tight sweater and short skirt? I'm like, cheerleaders don't even wear the tight sweaters anymore. Like, that's from, like, the 50s. Like, what are you talking about?
Emma,
what
are you?
Right. Literally, I was like, did you watch Grease last night? Like, what are you talking about? Like, no one dresses like that anymore. She's like, what? Next thing you know, what, you want to stand around with a little blowhorn? I'm like, they don't do that anymore. Like, what are you talking about?
Okay.
Like, Emma. So Emma is, like, hypercritical, and I feel bad for Manny, because Manny's like, I just want to join the squad. It looks like fun. And Emma's just, like, jumping out of her throat with, like, it's not feminist, and it's blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, girl, let your friend have fun, or maybe, like, be quiet for a second and let her have an opinion.
Exactly.
How about that? So JT and we see a quick scene of JT and Toby eating a bunch of Pringles, and Radish is like, what the fuck's going on? And also I was like, what's going on?
Me too.
But in the cafeteria, it's explained to us, Spinner's watching JT and Toby. They're looking through these, like, tubes of Pringles, and they the chip cans, not tubes of Pringle. What am I talking about?
Right.
Cans of Pringles. And they're looking for, like, an ace of spades, because they have ace of clubs. You have both, you can win $1 million. So they ask Liberty for hers. She has ace of clubs, and they're like, oh, now we're going to win because we have the other one. And Liberty's like, well, I want in because that's my chip can. Emma is asking Manny if she wants to come over to study while they're walking in the cafeteria, when Paige is like, hey, Manny, let's see you do that cartwheel again. So here comes that clap, 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 clap. And she starts doing her little cartwheel. And once again, everyone's like, oh, my God, you see that? Oh, she's, whoa, how'd she do that? Mind, it's a cartwheel. She's a cartwheel.
Yeah. They're like, honestly, you know what probably happened? I don't know what they were doing in the writer's room, but they're like, they just assumed that someone could do, like, tumbling on cast, and then they realized that, like, Manny was the best they had, then all she could do was a cartwheel, and they're like, damn it.
Why did we have to write this in? Yeah, I want to say that she did, the actress was a gymnast.
Yeah.
I wish they had let her do, like, I don't know, like a walkover, like, even just, like, one little backflip or front flip, somersault. I don't know, probably not safe. Maybe they were worried about liability, so they're like, we'll just have her do a cartwheel, because she is, like, 12.
Yeah, pigtails and all.
They're just gonna have her, like, try to fucking throw the Simone Biles, which she's the Yushchenko or whatever, and
they're like, ma'am, you need to sit down. We do not have the insurance for that.
We don't. She's like, I can do it in competition. They're like, no, you can't. And I'm glad they stopped her.
These linoleum fours, you're not.
So, yeah, everyone thinks she's amazing. So Hazel's like, it was all right. And I'm like, Hazel's the voice of reason. But Paige is like, oh, I think she's jealous of you. And I'm like, no, I think Hazel is just like, no, this is not that impressive.
Right. Guys. Hazel's like, listen, I know my black icon, Dominique Dawes. Like, I know what's good. This is mediocre. Okay.
She's like, this ain't it. She just watched Bring It On. She like, did you see what those girls did?
Exactly. Exactly.
This is not that. So Emma is being super judgmental about like, oh, like you want to hang out with Paige and Hazel, like, you know, just being Emma's the worst in this episode. I can't. It's like, you're really just like being a Debbie Downer to your little friend. And
yeah.
And Emma's still like harping about the bad side of cheerleading. And I'm like, what bad side? I'm like, the danger of it. Yes. The lack of regulation. Yes. But what are you talking? She just keeps talking. It's annoying.
Exactly.
Emma alludes to writing something for the grapevine, though. And Manny's like, please don't.
that's gonna fuck up my time to shine. You've had your moments, okay? You've had a lot of A-plots so far in the series. And I like to have my own shot, okay? So sit down. Let me be me.
Let me do my cartwheels.
And let me be a fucking star. Come on. Exactly. You know it's coming. Just let it happen.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to have just wait. I'm going to have multiple plot lines, okay?
Get ready.
Just you wait. JT cuts Liberty in on a deal, but Spinner overhears this and he wants in too. JT promises he's going to bring the spades in tomorrow. And Spinner's like, I'll hold on to the clubs for protection. We're going to be millionaires. But also, I think you guys are going to win $1 million, so you're not going to be millionaires splitting in four ways. Yeah,
that's before tax, so.
That's before, exactly. So Manny is bummed, and Paige and Hazel come through and like, what's wrong? And she's like, Emma's thinking about writing something for the grapevine, and they ask her to hang out. And they're at Manny's house, and they're like raiding boys and stuff. And then they start talking shit about Emma because they're like, "Oh, Emma wouldn't think this is very sexist of us." And I'm like, "It's not sexist of us doing it. It's sexist when they do it. That's how it works."
Yeah, it's very much a yeah. I mean, obviously, Mean Girls is a movie made up about like the social dynamics of like, you know, girl high school, middle school girl hierarchies. But this scene when they're like in her room, like trying to loop and, you know, lasso Manny into their like, you know, into their group. And it's like, oh, shit. Get ready. Get ready.
Watch your back, Katie.
So fucking watch your back because you're about to. What's the thing called when they do the surprise three-way call?
Oh, yeah.
The ambush. Damn. Because it's, like, it's a step away from that, so.
It was. That scene is so, like, triggering. It's never happened to me, but I was like, what if it does?
It could. Our anxious selves were like, it could happen at any time. Oh, my God.
It could happen to any of us at any time. Like, no one is safe.
No.
Technology is destroying our lives. So Paige is pressuring Manny to ask Emma about the article and, like, to make sure she doesn't do it. So she's on the phone with Emma and she's like, yeah, I'm feeling sick. I can't come over to study. But, you know, are you thinking about writing this article? And Emma's like, I told you I won't. But then Emma overhears Paige talking on the phone. And then Manny's like, when they leave, I'll come over. And Emma's like, no, fuck you, bitch. And hangs up. She's pissed.
That was it. That was like it wasn't even a three-way call. But like Paige knew what she was doing.
Oh, she knew that Emma would hear her.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm
going to talk extra loud.
She's like literally screaming in Manny's ear. And she's like, she heard me? No. Whoops. JT searches for the can, but he can't find it because he's a hoarder. And back at school, Manny, it's like he literally is in the messiest room in the world. And we see his locker later.
Cat carcasses like, in there, I'm sure.
Oh my God. There's like so many. Like the trash is so piled up that it's like disintegrated into just like dirt.
Oh my God.
Those are the best episodes of Hoarders is when like there's not even like he's a shovel.
I haven't watched Hoarders in so long.
it's still there, mama. It's still good.
I know. It's still so there's good. There's a happy medium. What does Liz Bentley always say? She's like the Goldilocks of drama. I feel like I'm the Goldie. I need the Goldilocks treatment of like Hoarders. Like there's I need clutter. I don't need the like. I have a distinct memory of a Hoarders episode that was like a woman who was like hoarding all her like adult dirty diapers.
How did I know you were going to say that? I was like, that woman lives in my mind rent free. It was really, that episode's really sad though. Cause isn't she like, yeah, she's like an old woman and she like just like,
yeah,
like keeps her diaper. It was like fucked up.
Yeah. And I was like, I feel like, she's not like that level of filth, like that's the extreme, but then there's also the just like where it's like again like the trash that's disintegrated into like dirt where there's just like brown stains everywhere where I'm like I don't know where this brown color is coming from and I don't want to know. And so I'm a big fan of like I love like a kind of like upper middle class family home that's just like riddled with clutter.
I've seen an episode like that where it was like, it was just this clutter. It was, I mean, she still was a hoarder, but it was like pretty messy house, but it wasn't like, see, I need the dirty diapers. Like that is so upsetting, but like, I love it. Like, I think cause I'm just like a deprived person who's just like a depraved person who's like, oh my God, like I need them. Like Liz Bentley talks about the Goldilocks. I'm like, no. I'm Papa Bear. I need the biggest. I need the most ridiculous. I'm like, this is what I want. I don't want no Goldilocks. Like, oh, this is just right. No, I want the big pot of porridge is what I want. Okay?
There's certain, like, filth things that are, like, living rent-free in my mind. A lot of them happen to be TLC shows. Or Hoarders was A&E, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But
which I feel like is the more respectable one. Because, like, I don't know. At first, I've decided that A&E is the more ethical channel. It's not, probably. But I'm like, this feels more,
like, at least okay. A&E is like, listen, this is a dark show about dark people. You already know there's dark ethics involved. TLC is like, look how happy these people are. Isn't this so happy? And it's like, no.
Yeah, it's bad.
But... I mean, talking about My Strange Addiction and one of my all-time favorites, Extreme Cheapskates. And there is a woman who was living in New York who was an extreme cheapskate who I'm kind of convinced she was dealing with some mental health.
Okay, things. Before you tell me who it is, was it like she was like Asian, right?
And she was going she was hosting a dinner party for a quote unquote friends that agreed to come on the show. And she went fucking dumpster diving for what you may ask? For fucking sushi. For sushi and like other shit that she was gonna mix together in a pot and serve to her guests.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like.
That's like the best episode of that.
And then but I remember
the problem with those people is like I'm always like, what are you saving all this money for? Like it feels like you're just hoarding. I think it's a type of hoarding. It's like you're just hoarding money because it's like because what do you, they never spend it on anything. It's like what the fuck is the point?
Exactly. The same thing with extreme couponers. But the thing that sticks out my brain with that lady from Extreme Cheapskates was when she was like showering. But doing her laundry, let's put laundry in quotes, doing her laundry in air quotes, she was putting her dirty ass laundry and then using the smallest bit of soap to wash her body and then plugging the drain in the tub so that the water fills up in the tub to then clean her dirty clothes with her dirty shower water. And she's standing in the bathwater. And I'm like, this is, nothing is ever getting clean. You're not clean. The clothes are not clean.
I saw a scene like that in a movie, but like the point of that was to show the poverty of that family. It was like, it's called Or My Treasures. This is an Israeli movie. And they're like, the mom and daughter are very poor, so they had to do that.
Exactly.
The difference is that she has money and she chose to do that. Like, there's people who like have to do that because they don't have access. And you exactly. have the money and you're just like, no, I'm just going to do this for reasons. She's going on vacation. She's not buy. Like, she didn't do anything. Like, what the fuck?
But I just, I want, listener, if you are one of those guests that was invited to her house, please let us know. We would love to have you on the podcast because we have lots of questions.
Can you imagine going to your, would you, what if you came to my house and I was like, Lauren, I made us dinner. And it's like, and you're like, what is it? And I'm like, it's all kinds of things.
Because this thing, the shit that she made wasn't even appetizing.
Yeah, I'm like, it's all kinds of things from various restaurants in the area. I went to the dumpsters and I took the extra food and I put it together in a pot.
Oh.
It's goulash.
Number one, Marley would definitely be there with us and I would just, I would, what do you call it when you like give someone else the mic? I would.
Pass the mic?
I would pass the mic to Marley to just give you our joint commentary.
She speaks for the
And then we would. And then we would call A&E to have an intervention because
well, you guys care a lot about me. I would expect you to just leave because I'm like, you should, because you should. If I never did that, you should just don't even say anything. Just walk out. Like, no explanation. If you never talk to me again, I would understand because I don't deserve friends. You're like,
justified.
Like, mm-hmm. like fair. I'm on some fuck shit right now.
Oh, my God.
Back at school, Manny is practicing with the spirit squad.
Oh my God.
Hazel's like, I'm going to demonstrate something for you. It's called a toe touch. And she's really sad. Her leg hardly.
Listen. Listen.
And she really sets it up like, mm-hmm. And her leg goes like halfway.
The thing. Any Degrassi fan knows this exact scene that we're talking about because the way that, like, Hazel's facial expression is just, like, so off. Like, it's, like, so, like, weird. Like, she's, like, putting off that she's enthusiastic, but she's obviously not enthusiastic enough to be, like, demonstrating this.
You know what comes off weird. You know what her face is? It's that white person smile. Like, that kind of, like, like.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like, you guys can hear, like, you guys hear me doing it. Like eyebrows up and just kind of like, and she's like, toe touch.
And it, okay. And then at that, you're like, girl, I mean, that's my toe touch. Like, and I'm yes. not.
The same. Like, I'm 29 almost. I do not exercise. Like, that's about as far as my leg probably also
exactly.
goes.
Exactly.
So she demonstrates it for him, and Paige is like, I want to see Manny do it. So Manny does one that's also not impressive, and then she does a split.
Yeah, like slightly higher.
Slightly higher, and then she does a split, though, so that's bonus points. And
you know what this was setting up? This was setting up the CMT original series Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders making the team. Because you know the same shit happens.
I haven't watched that in so long.
Oh, it's not. I don't think it's good anymore. But those early seasons, those early, because it wasn't even a show. It was like those specials, and I'm like,
mm-hmm.
oh, those auditions. Remember that black like boot camp trainer?
Yes.
And he was always. They would always have like the most random people in the panel of judges, and I'm like, oh, to be one of them.
God, I wish I could be a judge on a reality TV show. I just need to get famous. That's what I need to do. You get famous enough, and then I can
Girl,
be like...
Girl, you're almost there.
Okay. That's saying a lot. Not even close.
Listen, you've been viral enough times. You got a full-time job now. You're famous. We've got a hit Degrassi podcast.
I'm famous!
I'm going to be famous.
I'm gonna be famous. Manny, so she does her thing, and Emma's like watching through like a window, just like in disgust. She's like, she's making friends that are not me. I don't like that. Liberty is chilling with these red ass cowboy boots that are iconic, honestly. And Emma's like, here, I have an article about the Spirit Squad. And Liberty's like reading it. And she's like, oh, like, isn't Manny doing this? And she's like, yes. And I'm like, and Liberty's like, damn, you messy. But okay, I'll do it. I'll publish this. I don't care. I love mess. I'm going to quit this job anyway because I'm going to be a millionaire. Emma is the kind of feminist who hates girls for being girly, which is counterproductive.
Oh, yes.
Which is the worst kind of feminist. She is. You know who she is? She's fucking. What's the girl? Selma Blair's character in Legally Blonde.
Oh, yes. That's dating Elle Woods, like, ex.
Yeah, she like hates, like, she hates Elle Woods not because she's just the ex, because she's like feminine and that makes her upset. Yeah, because if you're a smart girl, you don't wear pink, and it's like, what the fuck, shut up.
Yeah, or like, or even like the feminist that's like, like the feminist that's like, you're a woman, and okay, because obviously there's oppressive situations, but a woman that's making a choice to like be in a non-traditional, not, what do you even call it, a non-traditional feminist role, like, so it's like a woman that's like choosing to stay at home and be a stay-at-home mom, and not like forced, but like she's choosing that, a woman that's like choosing to be to dress modestly in a religion, or to choose to be in a religion and to like submit in that kind of role, like, mm-hmm. like as their own choice, and they're like, but you're being oppressed. I need to get you out. Like, you know.
So. But you know what it is, and what frustrates me. It's like the attitude that feminists, that because something isn't feminist, it means it's bad. And I don't think that's true. I think it's like, I'm of the belief that not everything is feminist. I don't subscribe to the whole like, if a woman's doing it, it's feminist. I'm like, no, some things aren't feminist. When I beat this face, I'm not doing, let's be honest here, I'm doing it for attention. I'm not doing it because it empowers me. No, yeah, I'm doing it because I am also a victim of a patriarchal society that tells me that I have to do these things to be pretty. I know that. But it also doesn't mean that it's a bad thing either. I think it's this attitude that, like, you know, if the thing you're doing is not feminist, it's bad and you shouldn't do it. And I'm like, honestly, some things are just kind of neutral. Some things aren't
exactly
feminist, but they just kind of like, whatever, like plastic surgery is not feminist, but I don't think it's bad. It's not feminist. Exactly. I think it's bullshit people try to pretend like it's feminist act. It's not a feminist act, but that's also okay. Not everything has to be feminist acts. Sometimes things are just things, like, it's fine. Or sometimes things are just are complicated and you just want to do it, like, fucking go get your titties done, girl.
Yeah, have exactly fun. And then in the kind of, if it's not feminist, it's all, but it is feminist in a sense of like, and the ideology of, like, you having autonomy over your decisions and your body and doing what you want to do with it. Like, that, the autonomy of it, right, is feminist, but then the action itself is not so much feminist, you know what I mean?
Right. And that's, like, I don't think it's a bad thing. Like, I don't, exactly. I just really, honestly, it's probably why I've divested myself from feminism in a lot of ways over the years. Like, I think women are amazing and they should be seen as equal. And I am also about, you know, deconstructing gender norms, but a lot of mainstream feminism does not serve me. So I'm a lot more hesitant to be like, I'm a feminist, because it's like, honestly, y'all tripping. And also, it's so white.
Y'all need to get some intersectionality on all different levels, like, before y'all, you got fucking, me. Yeah.
Right. I'm not out here pressed over Gloria Steinem because she's a TERF. Anyway. So also, Emma invented what are those? Because she looks at her boots, she's like, what are those? Emma said, what are those?
What are those? R.I.P. Divine.
Yeah. So Emma and Paige are exchange some words in the hallway, and Emma drops the bomb about the article. She's like, "Yeah, I'm doing it." And this is where it gets shitty, because it's like, Emma, you're doing it for revenge and not because you really have a principle to take. You just are mad that Manny dares to do something that you don't like, and that's not being a good friend. So in the bathroom, Manny rips into Emma and she's like, you need to cancel the article. This isn't cool. And Emma is correct in pointing out that, I believe, that Paige is using her, because she is.
Of course, yeah.
But what Emma is wrong about is, I think, writing the article, and also just not – you just want Manny to be your quiet little sidekick, and because you don't like something and Manny has to unlike it too, and it's stupid. But I think it's something that we all have to learn as we get older.
Exactly.
That your friends don't have to like everything you do or agree with you all the time.
Yeah.
So Toby also gave away some shit because he thinks he's going to be rich. And that's when JT reveals, like, yo, I can't find this can. And Toby's freaking out. Manny sees Paige and Hazel take all the copies of the grapevines. She follows them. They go in the gym, and they're ripping them out. They're ripping out Emma's editorial. No. Paige and Hazel decide they're leveraging the fact that, like, we need 12 people. We have 8. If people see this article, it might convince them to not join the squad. So,
yeah.
Listen, Manny, you need to fucking pull some pages out. Do you want to be a cheerleader? Then I suggest you pull a page
out. Against us?
Yes. So Manny does pull, she tears like one page out, but the girls are in there like ripping. They're just full on like, we have to censor Emma. Like, yeah. We can't let her say anything. Toby and JT still freaking out. Liberty's been her no now, so they're searching his locker. But he does find the can, but we realize it's the clubs. It's not the, this B plot is so stupid.
Yes.
It's and boring.
And so just like, insignificant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It just happens and we never talk about it again. Like, it's exactly. Not. Bears no weight. There's no consequences. It's just kind of stupid. But Oscar is making some clip art for the squad. I'm glad he put a black girl in there because I was like, he's going to put 2 white girls. But he didn't.
It's also so it's so clip art, like,
mm-hmm.
Like digital design. It's like somewhat like customizable, but it's like the like harsh borders. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember like this style of clip art when I would search for like a PP or PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah, like, but they're like talking to him about it, like he's like oh, Oscar's really good at digital art, so they're all like. Can you make the skirt like blue and gold? And he's like doing it, and they're like, "That's excellent!" Like,
yeah,
like Oscar's really on some shit right now. Like, yeah, like I make all kinds of designs. You know, like, he's like on Fiverr. Like, yeah, I can design you a podcast art if you need me to. Yeah,
it's like, you know, no. It's like sometimes I'll see people on Fiverr, and I'm like, what gave you the thought that like this is a service that I should be paying for? Like, that is not free on the internet, you know?
He's like, no, I'm talented. Just you wait. Simpson comes in and interrogates them about the missing article. And he's like, hey, it's vandalism. You can get suspended. Manny's going to speak up, but Paige throws her little black friend right under the bus. She's like, I saw Hazel do it.
I was like, what the fuck?
I was like, shit.
Yeah.
Like, that was quick. Manny rightfully calls Paige out on the backstabbing. And Paige is like, okay, I'll tell if you keep up, like, I'm telling Simpson that you did it. And Manny's like, okay, let's go. Let's see who he believes. Like, she calls her bluff. And I'm like, come on, Manny. Manny, stand up for herself. She's got some chutzpah.
Because very much, like, prior to, like, in the scenes and, just dropped my AirPod. And up until this point, we've seen very much, like, a very airy, bubbly, like, Mickey Mouse Club like Manny, and like when she's like chewing a page out, it's very much like, oh, this is the Manny, like she's got that face and like the kind of like intenseness that she has later, like instead of like, it didn't seem like she's putting on like a persona like she has been, like we are seeing Manny fully. Not fully fleshed out, but, like, fully, like, giving us the Manny that we're going to get to know and love and learn.
Absolutely. I think it's – you're so right, and it's so important that we get to see her do this, especially because she's doing something, like, outside of Emma. Because everything we've seen of her has just been, like, with Emma, and now it's like, no, this is, like – she's asserting herself and, like, her interest and – yeah. So she's, like
– This is the kind of – like start of their kind of like rivalry when it comes to cheer squad and like,
oh yeah, because Paige and Manny do have beef later on.
Yeah,
you're right. I think it's also creating the tension between Manny and Emma that becomes bigger later too, because it's like, a lot of the tension between Manny and Emma is always the fact that, like, Emma is judgmental. Emma has her ideas and she kind of likes to project them onto Manny. Yeah. And not understand that Manny, like, has her own, like, she's got her own, like, those hopes and dreams. Basically, Manny's not your little brown friend. Manny has a life that's not yours. Like, you need to kind of respect that.
You know what she's giving us? She is giving us main character energy.
Yes. Manny's like, no, I am the captain. She's like me in your classroom. Like, I am the captain now. I'm like, good. Exactly. Good, Manny.
Exactly. She's giving
I
was going to say main character energy. And she's giving us, like, I'm not your token, like, brown friend. I don't think she's not Emma's token brown friend. I think Emma thought up until today that she was the alpha and Manny was the beta. Little did she know that Manny just was like, you know, she didn't have her time to shine yet.
Yeah, she's like, I'm also an alpha. Like, don't let these pigtails fool you.
Exactly.
Right? These pigtails are dangerous. So Manny goes in and she's like, you're basically, like, catty and a mean girl. And everyone's watching this and they're like, whoa, this is crazy. I was like, someone says, well, this is crazy. This is insane. I'm like, they're just having, like, an exchange of words. Not even, like, they're fighting for real. So Paige is like, good luck making the squad, and, like, runs away. And Emma, once again, is, like, watching from afar. Emma lurks so much. It's so creepy. But she's, like, really smug. And I hate that she's so smug because it's very like, see, I told her that this would blow up in her face. I'm like, girl, go save a whale.
Get the fuck out of here, Miss Greenpeace. Come on.
I know. So Manny's waiting on Emma's doorstep and she sees her and sits with her. And at least Emma does apologize for not supporting her. And I'm like, thank you. That's what you need to do. You can disagree with it. Cheerleading. If you don't like cheerleading, that's fine. But don't like immediately just shit on it. Your exactly. friend's trying to do something different. Manny's like, I just want to have fun. And it all became so complicated. And I liked being cool for a little bit. And she apologizes too. But Manny's like, yeah, I'm done. Like, I'm going to give up. And I'm happy that Emma encourages her. She's like, no, you should still go out for it. Paige isn't stupid. She knows you're good. I mean, we all sell those cartwheels. Fire, girl. No one else can do that. Like, you are the star. Like, if she says no to you, like, she's stupid. And Emma's like, she's like, Paige, no, and Manny's like, you were there, I guess, because Emma did see the fight. And Emma's like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, Emma's been everywhere this whole episode. She's lurking everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a fucking weirdo. But they make up and it's sweet. And I'm glad that, you know, Manny's like, yeah, I will go out for the spirit squad. I will show them my cartwheels again.
I mean, you know, like, I've been practicing really hard. I'm kind of getting better. I'm almost up to a round off. And
not a round off.
Listen, so some of these tweens out there, I'm talking about, like, out here, out there. It's like, they're like, actually, I could do a round off. Like, you know, I was never this kid because I could never do a cartwheel. I went to gymnastics camp really? And I couldn't do it. Yeah.
Aww.
Even at a very young age, my body was like, no, you were not this.
What the fuck are you doing? Why are we upside down?
We are not this agile, you know, limber person to just be throwing ourselves around. No. And I remember I could never do a cartwheel, but I remember there's, like, kids that could, like, I don't know, either, like, summer camp or different spaces where it's, like, oh, like, this is my trick I can do. And I remember mm-hmm. there was, like, the kids that could do, like, cartwheels, and then there was, like, always that one person that's, like, oh, but can you do a round off? Or can you do a one-handed cartwheel? And it's, like, what?
Like, why? So I was that kid. I did do gymnastics, and I could do all three. But that's, like, the best I could do. I haven't done a cartwheel in years. I feel like I could still do it. Like, I think it's something you don't forget how to do.
Yeah.
But I could do a cartwheel. I could do a one-handed one. And I could do a runoff.
I mean, they're all very similar actions. But it's just, it's okay, that brag that okay, everyone bitch. Had.
Okay, bitch. So. Like, okay. Okay. Okay, Emma. Okay, Hazel. Like, you're a hater.
I'll be on the spirit squad. Let me fucking demonstrate this high kick.
Clap, okay. clap, 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 clap. clap. I start just doing flips. I just backflip out of the room.
Yo, like, bye.
That was the
episode.
She would love me. That was the episode. Lauren.
Yes.
What was your song?
I actually forgot, so let me look at it. Okay. This song I chose because Mandy in this episode is very much torn. Like, she's like, you know, she's torn between her best friend and like wanting to like maintain that friendship, but also like, you know, do something for her, do something that she's excited about. And like, also like, anyone's lying everyone's lying to yourself when they say that they don't want to like hang out with the popular girls. Like, mm-hmm. Manny, like, I was excited for Manny. I'm like, fuck yeah, girl, go hang out, like, have your moment.
Right.
And but she's very much like, you know, but she, you know, she's still like, Manny's a loyal bitch and we love her for that. So she was stuck, and she was stuck in the middle. So I chose "The Middle" by Jimmy Eat World. Nice. A truly like a teen like bop classic, you know? Like, it is always in every playlist that I can ever think of when it comes to this kind of thing. So,
it's
like, you know, teen life is hard. You're in the middle. I also don't really remember the lyrics, but it's very much like talking about hardships of teenhood. So,
yeah, no, I feel that. So the song I chose, I went literal because I was thinking Bring It On, and I went to the Bring It On soundtrack, and I was like, what song could I choose from this?
Perfect.
And I went with Bewitched. Their cover of Mickey. It's a song that plays at the very end when they're all like kind of dancing and stuff. I like that part. Because cheerleading, and Manny's a little cheerleader, and it's gonna be a big part of her character, like, and Paige's character moving forward. So
we love to celebrate the squad. Get ready.
Yes, Spirit Squad. So that was the episode or episodes. Next week we've got two more coming in for you, Cabaret and Under Pressure. In Cabaret, Ashley writes a song she plans to perform with Terry at the Degrassi Lunchtime Cabaret. But when Terry adds Paige, she grows annoyed when Paige takes control. Terry attempts to use her recent project on tarot card readings to convince Ashley to go with Paige's ideas, but Ashley refuses, upsetting Terry and Paige. Meanwhile, Emma performs an interpretive dance to advocate anti-poaching, and when Sean refuses to join, Toby steps up. And in Under Pressure, with exams approaching at Degrassi, the last thing Sean wants is to repeat grade 7 for the second time. When he doesn't finish his media immersions exam on time, he's convinced he has failed again. Stressed to a boiling point, Sean releases his frustrations in a violent way. Meanwhile, Spinner attempts to get sick to avoid taking his English exam, but ultimately gets help from an unlikely source.
Whew. I'm excited for the first one. To be honest, the second one is not looking great.
So I remember something that happens in the second one that I'm actually excited about. Okay. I won't tell you in case you don't remember it. I will
wait to be surprised.
Yeah, because I think it's I remember it being kind of a good episode, but the Cabaret episode is amazing.
I forgot about the Lunchtime Cabaret. When they said Lunchtime, I was like, oh,
this sounds terrible. This is like a daytime strip club. Like, oh, this sounds awful.
Yeah, like, anytime, again, Degrassi is known for, they had their first nighttime dance, which is always more fun. No one wants to go to anything entertaining during the daytime, because the fact is, it's just not as entertaining.
It's not. I just want to eat my lunch. Like, I just want to eat this taco surprise and go about my business, have my juice. Mm-hmm. Can I have a juice and peas, please? Thank you.
Please.
So, guys, keep tuning in next week for those two episodes. Oh, my God. We have three episodes left in the season, but two episodes left in the podcast for season 1. So like we like blew through it. It's crazy. Check us out on social media. Do you want to promo those?
Yes, that's like you can check us out wheelhouse? On our podcast Instagram, EWS Pod. You can send us a DM. We would love to give you a shout out. And you can also follow me on Instagram as well as on YouTube at Lauren's China Life. And you can see what I'm up to. I'm finishing up my semester with these asshole students, and then I'm moving on to a different job. So I'm on the verge of burning all my bridges before leaving this job. I'm trying to, they've got to transfer my paperwork, but once that transfer goes in, I'm like cutting all ties with these bitches. Cause yeah. So, but yeah. I'm excited to be free and have a hot girl summer 2021. So fuck follow yeah. me if you're interested. What about you, Sinique?
That's amazing. You can follow me on Twitter at Sinique. That's S-E-Y-N-I-Q-U-E. Instagram at say_Smythe. That's S-E-Y_S-M-Y-T-H-E. And TikTok. I hope to start making things again since I stopped being bullied. Yes. Almighty Smyther. That's Almighty_S-M-Y-T-H-E-R. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe, please, if you haven't already. That'll make me happy. And Lauren will be happy about that too. And I don't know, what's a thing I want to, there's something else I want to plug. Hey, let us know if there's any, like, any of your own theories about Degrassi and the characters, if there are people you'd like to see on the podcast, perhaps people, guests you might think would be fun. Cause we would like to get some guests on as well. Change it up a little bit, but that's all I've got.
Let's get out of here then.
All right. As always, we will catch you later, Broomheads.
Bye, Broomheads.